Well, Tuesday's a big celebration in America. Aren't you glad for the 4th of July? Glad for what it means? We celebrate it year after year. And every year it seems like it's an exciting time. Family get-togethers, fireworks, the big booms of fireworks. Isn't that what the big thing is? The explosions. We dare not lose sight of the reality of it, though. We are blessed this morning. We are blessed with religious freedom. We are blessed to be able to be here this morning. We are blessed with so many things along these lines of freedom, and religious freedom is dear to us. There's a lot of maybe subtle effort going into things nowadays, possibly always has been, to destroy the freedoms that we have, the religious freedoms that we have. Some of those freedoms across the board go hand in hand with religious freedoms. Some of them are completely separate. But religious freedom is something that we hold very dear to us. Some of those religious freedoms have a financial benefit to them. Some of those religious freedoms have emotional benefit to them. One of the things that we face nowadays in our day, in our circumstances, is the question of whether or not religious freedom applies to non-Christian religions. We have to answer that question from time to time. And in answering that question, we may be trying to ask ourselves another question of should or must a person who believes in Jesus is the only way to God, if a person believes that Jesus is the only way to God, should that person defend religious freedom for non-Christian religions? Is religious freedom for Christians and non-Christians alike, in other words? I think an underlying thought along that line is that religious freedom or religious liberty is not a government benefit. Don't write me off there immediately. Don't close your ears to what I'm trying to say. But religious freedom or religious liberty is granted by God. Granted by God. God gave us, God gives religious liberty. In that, He allows you and I, people across the globe, around the globe, to choose for themselves who and what they're going to worship, who and what they're going to believe in. Some people may say that it's a natural, inalienable right that has been granted by God. And it just so happens that the United States Constitution at this point agrees with that and provides a religious liberty for you and I today. Some people have reached the point where they think that the government should have within its power to zone mosques and synagogues out of existence. But if they're able to regulate those, then they will also be able to regulate ours. To empower a state to command or to forbid worship is not a fidelity to the Bible. It's not a true basis from the Bible, because God himself has given the freedom of religion. Now, one thing that we do also need to consider as we consider these questions, these thoughts about Christian or religious freedom, religious liberty, that if we say, or when we say, that freedom of religion applies to all people, Christian or not, that we, you and I, are not suggesting that there are many paths to God. That's not the suggestion in religious liberty. Nor are we suggesting that the truth claims are relative. We're simply saying that religious freedom should not be thwarted or governed by the state. You and I that believe in Christ, you and I that are Christians of the Christian faith, would have it within our thinking and in our understanding, within our belief, that the ultimate judgment seat will take care of all of these inequities and all of these errors. Everything comes down to that point in time, and we step back and allow God to do his thing, in the sense that man has the right and the privilege to choose. You and I have the right and the privilege to choose. Thank God that we've chosen Jesus this morning. A coerced religion, someone said, is not Christian. A coerced religion is not Christian. Just because the state has a power in places to shut down anything, any house of worship other than Christianity, does not mean that that state becomes Christian, because then people begin to pretend to be Christian. And in that sense, someone else said, the words of another person, is that that kind of a situation is one birth short of salvation. Because they've never been born again if they're pretending to be a Christian because of state control. Religious liberty, then, is also never to be an excuse for violence or crime. Never to be an excuse for violence or crime. So there's some religions that are proponents of, or they encouraged violence, they encouraged crime. And if somebody were to suggest that Christianity is one of those, then you and I have to do everything that we can to prove them otherwise, by our actions and by our life, that we are not a part of that violence or crime. As a matter of fact, I'm thinking that we as Christians should be more accused of being meek than violent. We should be more accused of giving than taking. There's enough inconsistencies in the religious realm, not just in Christianity or not just in some other religion that you may be thinking of. There's enough inconsistencies around that if a person or the government were to be basing its powers or basing its regulations on the consistency of a religion, then we might be struggling there as well. But it's simply religious liberty. On the 4th of July, we celebrate that liberty. I suppose we're already celebrating it. I know last night there was a lot of fireworks being shot off and ignited. There was a lot of things, a lot of booms and flashes. It's a big thing for us to celebrate. Not everybody gets these freedoms, has these freedoms. Not everybody enjoys this time. Everybody still has a July 4th, but they don't have the liberty that goes with it. I want to take a few moments here this morning and share some stories. Just simply for us to be more aware that not everybody has the blessings of freedom that we have. I don't know how to pronounce all the names, so I'm just going to have to take a guess at them. Ellen woke up one night to the sounds of someone burning her house down. Thankfully, she was able to grab her baby son and escape. Unfortunately, it was one of many hardships she'd been forced to face since deciding to leave her tribe's traditional religion and follow Jesus instead. Many in her village, including her family, perceived the change in her religious beliefs as an offense to their culture. Many in her culture believe that Christianity is an American religion. When someone in the community becomes a Christian, the community worries that the spirits they worship will be offended and that the community might also suffer ill effects as a result. Though she escaped the attempted arson of her home, her problems weren't over. A little while later, she visited her sister in another city for a while. When she came home, she found that her father and brother had moved into her home and were claiming it as their own. Ellen went to the local authorities to complain. She then found out that the village headman had even issued her father a new property deed for her home. Further lobbying for justice at the local level and even provincial level hasn't helped. It looks like Ellen will be forced to leave the village. When she asked her father how he could do such a thing to her, he told her, "Because you're a Christian." It's not just young people, younger families that suffer like this. An older gentleman by the name of Kielwin and his wife and daughter were also recently evicted from their home. In this case, it was from a son. Kielwin was a key Christian leader in his area, and he leads a church that he planted many years ago after he moved to an unreached region as a missionary. In spite of Kielwin's faithful example, his oldest son despises his parents' faith. He drinks, he uses drugs. He's much like the prodigal son in the Gospel of Luke. And his son demanded his inheritance from his father and said that the house should be his portion. The conflict between the eldest son and the family has been ongoing for at least 3 years. And on March 15, 2017, that's not too long ago, the son finally forced his father, mother, and sister from the home. Kielwin and his family are now living under a roof they erected in a rice field. It's a tough life, but they don't want to abandon the other believers in their community. They are afraid if they leave, the other believers will become too discouraged and renounce their faith. These are recent stories. People that don't have the religious freedoms that we have. It wasn't too long ago that we heard about the tragedies of persecution and martyrdom in Egypt. And during a three-week period in Egypt's northern Sinai Peninsula, there were 7 Christians martyred. Nearly 300 families had to flee the region. All because of their Christian faith. Just common people like you and I. Well, Youssef, 35, was the owner of a supermarket on a crowded street in Erish. On the day he was killed, he was at his market with his pregnant wife and one of their two sons. Suddenly, four masked, armed young men attacked his shop. The militants dragged Wael's wife out of the shop by her hair and then shot Wael in the abdomen, shoulders, and chest. A few weeks later, his wife gave birth to their baby girl. Adele, 57, lived in the El Samran area in Erish. He was shot in the head. A veterinarian, 58 years old, he was in his pharmacy when a masked young man entered and pulled him out into the street in front of the pharmacy and shot him. He has a 16-year-old son and a 14-year-old daughter. Gamal, a 45-year-old teacher, also had a small business selling shoes and socks, six children. He was with his wife when he was killed in the market where he ran his business. Two young men met the couple as they walked through the market. They asked Gamal what his name was, and he confirmed his identity, and they immediately shot him. I'm talking about religious freedom. Another one, Syed, 65, and his son, Medhat, 45, were killed on the same day. The dad was shot several times in the head. His body was found in the streets of Erish. Medhat was abducted and burned alive. 40-year-old plumber shot him in front of his wife and their five children. They burned his house. The wife and children escaped as the attackers chased them. That happened this year. We celebrate religious freedom this week in the 4th of July celebrations. Though I'm not bringing you a biblical message as such this morning, I want us to be reminded and aware that our freedom came with a price and is valuable. And not everybody gets to enjoy it. And while we celebrate it here, let's remember those that do not celebrate it where they are. And while I request prayer for the persecuted church every single Sunday, I'm fully aware that out of sight is usually out of mind. But we dare not forget our brothers and sisters in Christ. They may not believe identically to the way we believe, but if they believe in the new birth through Jesus Christ and Calvary, then that rest of that is going to be left up to God, and we are their brothers and sisters in Christ and have a responsibility to pray for them. Central Asia. It's a church in a hostile land. India. You know, we've got acquaintances, friends in India. We've prayed for those in China. We're thinking about the ladies that were in China not too long ago and Brother Asbury that makes annual trips to China. I don't know where you are in your thinking, but I know what I think, that I don't comprehend. I cannot grasp what they are going through to do what they do in spreading the gospel, sharing the Bible, giving out Bibles. You know, thank God for the Gideons that place Bibles in hotels and give Bibles out at colleges and used to be able to give Bibles out at the schools, and some of that's slowly coming back. And you can set up a stand anywhere you want pretty much and hand out free literature. There was stand at Walmart the other day that provided free biblical literature. I thought about stopping in and asking them who they were with. We have freedoms. You know, we enjoy all of these things, but it's easy in the midst of us enjoying all these things to forget the realities of others in the world. And while we celebrate and enjoy, so many more stories that we could talk about. Iran. Read a story about it that took place in the Philippines. Over and over again, we find it in various places. And actually, we are finding some stories right here in the United States. Let's not take our freedoms lightly. We hold religious freedom dear. We are blessed with religious liberty. But it came with a price, and it's valuable. And anything that's valuable, if it's really, truly valuable to us, we will guard it. And we will be grateful for it. Freedom in Christ, glorious freedom. And that doesn't change whether you have religious freedom or not. But we can be blessed today, and we are blessed today because of religious freedom. Let's enjoy it. Would you stand with me this morning?